this evening. It's all about Calvary. You know, when Tommy was preaching this morning, you know what I was thinking when he was preaching this morning? I was thinking, yeah, man, they're preaching another gospel. And you know what the Word of God says? It says they're preaching another gospel, but it's not a gospel. It's not worth your time. It's no life in it. Because at Calvary, the plan of salvation, where Jesus went to that cross and he shed his blood, that's the plan of salvation. Stand our feet and we'll sing one more before Brother Tommy comes. We'll sing that one that Terry was playing before the service, was My Savior Suffered on the Tree. Tribe of Judah, he hath prevailed. And John looked, thinking he would see a lion, but what did he see? He seen a lamb as if it had been slain. There's the bleeding lamb. We'll sing the last verse on that chorus again, and then our pastor's going to come.
And this my speechless song shall be, glory to the bleeding lamb.
God bless each one this evening. Give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord. And I won't try and be too long tonight. I appreciate each one that's come out this evening and made an effort to come. May the Lord bless you. I didn't really want to preach again in the blood tonight, and I prayed a lot about it, and I just kept feeling led on this line again this evening, similar this morning. So it's for somebody. But praise God. Let's turn to 1 John. And I want to talk about the Spirit and the blood tonight. 1 John 5 verse 8. Epistle of John. 1 John 5 verse 8. And the Lord bless each one tonight. Praise God. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Let's bow our heads this evening. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord tonight. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can come again and gather in your name in the gathering. Lord, we know that you promised if we gather in your name, you'll be in the midst and not to bless us. Father, we seek your blessing tonight. We can do nothing of ourselves. Lord, without you, we can do nothing, but with you, anything is possible. We plead the merits of your precious blood. I take the life of that blood tonight, the Holy Ghost, afresh upon my life, to come upon my life, and each one in this room, the quickening power of the Holy Ghost tonight, to move us, to stir us. Lord, that you'll touch hearts and lives of men and women this evening in this room, and those of us here in, maybe at a later date, Father, touch lives. See every hand raised, meet every need, Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Bless our brother Victor Jacobs at this time. Touch him and heal him. And Lord, for our brother Andrew Beecham, he goes for the operation. Touch our brother. We with our brother, we pray that all be well in Jesus' precious name. Think of we Laurie again tonight. You'll touch Laurie and bless Laurie. And Father, we pray for all those in holidays. Bless them, be with them, be their portion, the children in each. Lord, all that's away, just bless them, cover me your precious blood. And Father, close us in for a time yourself tonight, Lord, as we look at your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. It's maybe seated, praise God. We know that the water means the water, the Spirit. Water, Spirit, water, and blood. And you know, we go through the waters when we get baptized, Acts 2:38, Matthew 28. That's the commission, repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized. And we know that's the commission, that's part of the gospel, part of Christianity. And the Bible says you will receive the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life. Now we know that refers to an outward human act commanded by God that we're to observe, we're to repent and believe, and we do them things. We know that. Through the blood we see what God has done to bring about a real living cleansing. A real living cleansing in each one of us. And it is the Spirit, and it is by the Spirit that the witness of both others is confirmed by the Spirit. The Spirit witnesses to the blood. And it's the Holy Spirit that moves on a man, that moves on a woman. And ever before you get saved, the Holy Spirit moved on you. People say, I need the Holy Spirit. I've never had the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you've had the Holy Spirit already. He's moved on you. The Spirit moved on you to get saved. and it brought you to the realization of the blood. Then the blood cleanses you. Then you need to go on further and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sad to say, many have put the baptism down till a belief or a doctrine. But I want to say in this pulpit tonight that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a belief or a doctrine. It is an experience. An experience that you receive where you're baptized by the Holy Spirit. Just like salvation is an experience that every single individual must experience. Their own experience of salvation, everyone must be saved. I can't be saved for you, you can't be saved for me. And I can't receive the baptism for you, and you can't receive it for me. It's an individual affair. So many times, William Branham said, it is an individual affair. That every single individual must have their own individual experience, their own individual encounter with salvation and with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now there's lots of people and they have took the message that God sent and they've made it in such a way and round in such a way. If you don't see it the way they preach it, that's the evidence that you haven't got the Holy Spirit. But I want to know where that is in the Bible. I want to know where they can show me it in the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, they went up into that upper room and they waited and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They come out talking with tongues. Prophesying, healing the sick and raising the dead, and the power of God was all over them and all around them. And they went about everywhere just like Jesus, doing good, casting out devils and healing all those that were oppressed of the enemy, because the same Spirit that was on him was on them. And if the same Spirit that's on him comes on us, it will produce the same thing. And if it doesn't produce the same thing, it's a counterfeit. But we don't want a counterfeit. I want the real Holy Ghost. And you don't get the real Holy Ghost out of some theological book or theological seminar, but it comes from heaven. Hallelujah. And it's an experience. Now, we want to see this united witness of the Spirit and the blood is the foundation of our faith. There's an unbroken union between them. First of all, first thing tonight, the union of the Spirit and the blood and the work of redemption is through the Spirit. Alone that the blood has its power. It is through the Holy Spirit that the blood has its power. You see, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, we are talking about the eternal Spirit. The eternal Spirit. And I tell you, when you get the Holy Spirit, you've got eternity in you. You can't be lost. There's no such thing if you're saved that you'll be lost. That's a complete nonsense. How could you be saved and then be lost? Sure, if the Lord saves you, you're saved. You're saved for all time and all eternity. Praise God. Acts 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So he, through the eternal Spirit, was offered for me and you. And he was offered up himself without spot to God. He was the only thing God accepted to appease God. And it is the righteousness of Jesus Christ tonight that stands for me and you. We don't need any of our own. Our own's no use, but we've got his. And Romans 4 says that he doesn't impute to us our sin, but he imputes to us his righteousness. And we don't work for it. For Ephesians says in chapter 2, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. If you work for it, it's not salvation, because salvation is free. And there's not one thing you need to do to get it, only believe. Amen. The blood possesses its power to cleanse and to make us fit to serve the living God by the eternal Spirit that was in the Lord when his blood was shed. You see, Jesus Christ had the eternal Spirit. There's only one real Holy Spirit. There's not two Holy Spirits. There's one real Holy Spirit. He offered his blood. God is a Spirit. In Christ Jesus was the eternal Spirit, the Spirit of God. It's the same Spirit. You see, when people talk about three persons in the Godhead, it's not in the Bible. You'll never read that in the Bible. There's no such thing as you've been possessed by a person or filled by a person. You were filled by the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. God is a Spirit, eternal in the heavens. And he became us that we might become him. And he took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, God's blood, that's what it really is. This blood of Jesus Christ was a very special blood, really. It was God's blood, no original sin was in it. So it couldn't corrupt. Now I want to really strike that this evening. The reason Jesus Christ's blood could not corrupt like an animal blood or any other blood, it had no original sin in it. Remember, because of original sin, death came and sickness came. But there was no death, no sin, no sickness till sin came. And when sin came, they disobeyed God, sin came. And death and sickness is a result of sin. But Jesus Christ came, not from the earth, but from heaven. The Lord from heaven. And he came to settle the sin question, to deal with the sin question. And just as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And we know that we are like in Adam's nature, and we're like Adam in that sense. You know how we're made and everything like that. But then we're born again. And we're born again of an incorruptible seed. Amen. That's another birth we've had. And we can't die because we're born of the Spirit of God of an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. So the man or woman that's born again goes to heaven. Hallelujah. And whether we're living when the Lord comes to meet us in the air, or whether we're in the grave, we're still the Lord's. It's victory the whole road. Hallelujah. You see, it could not decay as a dead thing. When I tell you, it's a real insult when people say it's into the ground dried up. It couldn't decay as a dead thing, but a living reality. It could be taken up to heaven to exercise its divine power from thence. You say take it to heaven, absolutely. As the earthly things are sprinkled by the blood, so the heavenly, with a better sacrifice. Now you remember this evening, you'd have to go back into the Old Testament, you'd have to take the priest and the tabernacle, and you'd have to know that he offered for himself, then he offered for others. And then he would sprinkle that blood on the veil 7 times. And he couldn't enter in until he offered for himself, but he couldn't enter in until he'd offered for others. Then he entered in. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ never ever had to offer for himself. But his offering was for me and you. Now if you're going to tell me tonight that offering's not enough, you're saying Jesus Christ on the cross didn't do enough. But I believe he done enough. As we heard a brother praying this morning, it's finished. That was what he said. It's finished. It's completed. The work's done. Christ has finished the work. From a message called the Deity of Jesus Christ, therefore, when Mary, knowing not a man, she was with the male, God, Almighty Jehovah, and he overshadowed her, and God is a creator, and created a blood cell in the womb of Mary, knowing no man at all. And that brought forth the very creative blood of God to redeem us from our life, coming in here being born by sexual desire. Then that blood was drawn out of Emmanuel's veins on Calvary's cross. And today is the same saving, redeeming, holy power that it did that day. The transfusion was made at Calvary. That's how the prophet preaches it. But you see what's wrong is people that splice it. Splicers and mashers. Do you realize it's a serious thing to take God's word and tamper with it? Revelation 22 says if we add to it or take from it, our name's taken out of the book. We are not allowed to change God's word to suit our theological ideas. We must take it as it is. God's word doesn't need a change for to suit us. We need a change to suit it. And the great thing about it is if that word gets in you and the Spirit gets in you, he'll change you. Oh, but I've been changed, but you're still been changed. The Bible says he's changing us from glory to glory, like unto his own glorious self. We're redeemed by the blood of God. The Bible says so. We're bought by the blood, redeemed by the blood of God. That's why we've eternal life tonight. Eternal redemption, eternal joy. There's no end. No end. It is something in which there can be no change. Nor can it suffer any diminishing or lessening. Our faith lays hold on that which is eternal. Our faith is not laying hold on a building or some earthly man this evening. Our faith is laying hold on something that is eternal. Build your hopes on things eternal that shall never fade away. Hallelujah. And it will and it does manifest itself in us. We're saved for all eternity. We'll never grow old. We might have a time here in these earthly bodies we're aging, but I'll tell you, there's a day coming when we'll throw the old coat off. It'll be hung up, as it were, in the closet, and we'll have a new coat waiting, a new house, a new tent, Paul says, waiting for us in the heavens, reserved for us in the heavens. Let me read you Hebrews 7, verse 16 down. Wonderful words. Who has made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life? For he testifieth, Hebrews 7, verse 17, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw now unto God. And as much as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. A surety of a better testament. You ever get somebody to do a surety for you? Well, Jesus Christ doing it for you tonight. And he's doing a surety for you for a better testament, a better covenant. Verse 23, and they truly were made priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, have an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore is he able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest become us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who consecrated forevermore. I'll tell you, Christ has done it once and for all. It never has to be done again. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Tell me a word. What's that say? That Bible doesn't say when Jesus died on the cross, his blood went in the ground. That's not what the Bible says. But I want to ask the question, who made that statement? Where did that statement come from? That statement that the blood went in the ground come from somewhere? And then somebody else heard it and repeated it. But I'm giving you the Bible statement tonight. And the Bible statement, Hebrews 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of cows and goats, but with his own blood. Does your Bible read the same as mine? He entered in once into the holy places, having attained eternal redemption for us. That holy place the Bible's talking about is not Moses' tabernacle. Because Moses' tabernacle was only a prefigure of what was coming. This is the greater tabernacle in heaven. Not Solomon's tabernacle either. But he entered into heaven with his own blood. Because the psalmist David says, neither will I leave a soul in hell, neither shall I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He raised up, and he never corrupted, even though he was dead 3 days and three nights. And I showed you some weeks ago how he died 3 days and three nights, because some people said the Bible made a mistake. It never made a mistake. They did. They made a mistake. Just like they make a mistake when they say the blood's finished. Thank God for the blood. You're not glad for the blood? I'll tell you what, here's a fella here tonight. There's nobody more glad for me than the blood. When the devil condemned me, and I'll tell you the loveliest voice, I love you and give myself for you, and I bathed and washed my feet in the blood of Jesus Christ. You know that song we were singing at the end of this morning, it come to me. You know, I remember in the front room in my mom's house, I was in an awful shape. I was trying to get right with God. I'd prayed, I did a lot of things. The devil kept condemning me. And every time I couldn't get the freedom I wanted, and I was woke in the night, and the voice spoke to me and said, Isaiah 1 verse 18. And I'd never read it before, and I got out of bed and I lifted my old blue Bible. I still have it. I had it when I was 15 when I went to the Brethren. And it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. White as the wool, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Hallelujah! Even in the Old Testament, God spoke to me and showed me that his blood will wash me whiter than the very driven snow. And I tell you, I was free. When I read that scripture, I was free. Set free. Nobody laid hands on me that night, or I was near any preachers or anything, but the word of God is powerful. And the Holy Spirit spoke that word. And when I read that word from the Bible, I was set free. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, there's power in the word of God. You know, when you read your Bible in your house or in your home or in your car, you read it and you quote it. I want to tell you that that word of God's got power in it. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Not to the next revival, forever. By the eternal Spirit, the blood has obtained an eternal, ever-availing, ever-fresh, independent, indispensable power of life. As the blood possesses its power through the Spirit, so the Spirit manifests full power and works effectively among men through the blood. We know the blood shedding was followed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Calvary, then Pentecost. Jesus shed his blood, then he poured out his Spirit. That's God's order, that's God's way. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for Pentecost. So many people say today we've went beyond Pentecost. We've went beyond Pentecost. And here's what they have when they go beyond Pentecost. They don't need the blood. Now, why don't you just get a pen if you had one this evening and tick this list. And then when you finish ticking it, put it in the bin. For it's a list that's no good to nobody. Think of it tonight, of the list, when they move beyond Pentecost. They no longer need the blood. It's dried up and it's in the ground. They don't need to preach Calvary, they've moved beyond it. They don't need tongues, they don't need prophecy. They don't need none of them things, they've moved beyond. And yet with all the prophet of God says, I preach what Paul preached. And when he went beyond the curtain of time, over the other side, the multitude said, we are depending on that. That he preached what Paul preached. Because Paul was a first church age messenger. And God cannot give us another message. Or another gospel as we heard. My, think of that this evening. Think of it. You have a list. You've no blood on it. Your sins remain then, as far as I'm concerned. Once you do away with the blood, your sins will remain. You can never approach God and say, I'm clean, because you've told God you don't need the blood. What about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? What about the gifts of healing? I'll tell you, we need gifts of healing tonight. The body of Christ universally needs gifts of healing. If ever there was a dispensation, if ever there was a time when we need the gifts of healing manifest, and we need the gifts of God tonight. May God give us more of his gifts. May they not be taken away, but may they be multiplied. And may we seek God like Paul says. And may we have a hunger and a desire to covet earnestly the best gifts. I'll tell you, it's a message, I'm sorry, it won't do for me. I'll keep on preaching the blood and the Pentecost gifts. You know, William Branham said, when God comes to see lame Jews, do you know what he said? He didn't say, of course we have moved on, God give them some great new thing. He said that they will receive the same Pentecostal blessing we receive. That's the seal of God. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the seal of God. And if God's going to seal them Jews, God cannot seal them a different way. Now I know there's people preach they'll get a different message, but I don't find that in the Bible. I do find it in books of theology. I'm not talking about them, I'm talking about the Word of God. They're going to be sealed. They're going to be saved. God loves them. God's given a promise to them that he's going to open their eyes. Israel was blinded that us Gentiles could come in. And if God could blind them, God can unblind them. God can take the blindfold off Israel, and Israel can see. And I tell you, it's looking like a lot of the Gentiles are blinded now. This whole thing's reversing because we're ready for the coming of the Lord. Hebrews 9. Let me read you this. By sin, the middle wall of partition separated God and man. The flesh was a veil that made the true union impossible. As long as sin was not atoned for, but God made himself a body and he stepped out of eternity into time so that he could bring us into unity. Hebrews 2 verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. After our Lord tasted death, then he poured out the Holy Spirit. The blood is the life of man, the life. God is a spirit. Man must just give up a sinful life and be washed in the blood of Jesus. Then God will pour out the Holy Spirit in him and on him. What man himself could not do, what the Lord Jesus Christ did, no man could do it. He shed his blood, he gave his life, an entire surrender to the will of the Father as a sanctification of the penalty of sin. The blood had to be shed so the Holy Spirit could be poured out. The Holy Spirit's not just something somebody thought about. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Jesus continually quoted his Father. Jesus continually said, I must go to Calvary so that the promise of my Father can come. And the promise of the Father was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that the work that Jesus began could be continued. And when you read the book of Acts, you will read all that Jesus began. The former treatise have I made unto thee, O Theophilus, all that Jesus both began to do and teach until he was taken up into heaven. And you know the angels were there. And he said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, if you've seen go up the clouds, will come in like manner. Is that the Bible? That's absolutely the Bible. He's coming again. And he has sent the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, what's wrong today? There's too many people in pulpits that shouldn't be in it. God never called them. They called themselves, or some group called them. And they're not preaching the Holy Spirit, and there's no gifts, and there's no power of God. I tell you, I seen a fellow the other day in the street, and the Lord bless him, I don't know him. But there's some fellow was coming up wanting to do things to him, and he was running about, and your man was running about. That's not the book of Acts, I'm sorry. That's not the book of Acts. I tell you, in the book of Acts, the woman followed Paul. And she cried out and she said things against Paul, spoke against Paul, and Paul was freed, and Paul turned around and rebuked the devil that was in her and cast the devil out of her. And I tell you, we need the power of God on us so that when we turn around, that devil will go and he'll come out screaming in terror. It's wonderful to hear a devil scream out in terror and come out. When I was called outside in Zimbabwe to that old woman, really old woman, and that demon cried out of her, and God took that devil from her and saved her and filled her, and she went back up them mountains a new woman. God done something on her. And I tell you, we need to understand tonight that demons are real, but the power of God is real. Now let's just tell it as it is. You're wasting your time with denominationalism to cast devils out. Because the first of all, they don't believe in it. You need the power of the Holy Ghost for that. And I tell you, you can't be preaching against Pentecost. You can't be preaching there's no blood. And preaching against the stuff and then try and work with devils. The devil will laugh at you. We need everything that God's give us. I thank God tonight it's available. He's Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Says, whatsoever you'll ask in my name, I'll give it to you. You can have it. Amen. And I'm going to have to close, and time's gone. I can't believe it. It's like 5 minutes, brother. Isn't God good? John 7:39, but this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But after Jesus Christ was glorified, the Holy Spirit was given. Hallelujah. I'm going to read you one verse. It's been on my heart all day. It's for somebody. I was going to preach on it, and then I didn't get the leading. I'm going to read you it anyhow. It's in Revelations. Now, if you want to write this down, Revelations 1, verse 5, and if you go and read the Amplified Version, you'll read what I'm going to tell you now in a moment. And if you take one of them church age books at the back and go to page 24, you'll read what a prophet of God said about this verse. Revelations 1 verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And the other translation says, loosed us from our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ loosed us from our sins. We are loosed. You get your church age book and the heading at the top is loosed from sin. We're loose from sin tonight. We've got the victory. The devil's lying. He's a liar. He's defeated. Christ defeated him on the cross. We're loose from sin. That would run you on over to Romans 8. What are you talking about? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are not condemned tonight because we're in Christ Jesus. We're loose from sin. A victory over the devil. You know what's wrong with us? We've got a wee bit backward of ourselves. That's the truth. As far as years ago, you know, if it was a devil or somebody needing prayed for, we'd have called it out there and then. I'll tell you what, you don't need to hank in. There's a great wee devil of God. You don't need it. Get rid of it. Rebuke it. Chase it. Amen. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Praise God. Isn't God good? I'll tell you, when Jesus came down to that man of the Gadarenes, and that devil tried to sink that boat going over, and he fell asleep and awakened him. And he said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible says there's a great calm. And he got out of the boat, and them demons knew him. And that man was chained. He was chained. And he was fit to break the chains in pieces. He had a power that wasn't normal. But even though he had a satanic power that wasn't normal, he come up against the power of the universe. And it was greater than any satanic power. And them devils cried out and said, "We know thee who thou art, thou Holy One of Israel. Art thou come to torment us before the time?" And Jesus suffered them demons to go out of him into them pigs. And the pig trade finished. They went down into that water and were drowned, them pigs. They didn't like Jesus after that. They tried to chase him. That's the Bible. There's power tonight in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. If you have a need tonight, lift your hand up before the Lord, and I'm going to pray for you. Pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for the power of the blood and the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you that the Spirit answers, Lord. Oh God, to that precious blood tonight and the Spirit working. Lord, we pray you'll move. For the hands that's raised, move. We cast down every enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, the spirit of oppression and depression, we cast it down. In the name of Jesus Christ, we come against the spirit of infirmity and fear. For you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of truth, and that of a sound mind. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory tonight. Bless and strengthen each one now, I pray. And bless our brother Mark as he comes to lead us in a closing song. Bless every brother and every sister that's here tonight. Do us good. Help us to be the men and women that you want us to be. And help us to believe the truth and stand for it. And Lord, for all those that go on the streets with the true gospel, bless them, strengthen them, and be with them, and protect them from all the wiles of the enemy. Pray for Israel tonight. You bless Israel. And camp Israel round about with the angels of heaven. And do them good, I pray, and defeat their enemies. In Jesus' precious name. Bless all the nurses, all the doctors, Lord. Keep your hand upon them and each one. And Father, for those still on holidays or away, bless them, strengthen them. And just have your way in our lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Mark's going to come. We'll be back Thursday night, even if it's just a few of us. We'll come anyway for a prayer meeting. Whoever can come along, and we'll continue on. God bless you.
Maybe we'll sing that 699, that man of Calvary.
Fairest of all the earth beside, deepest of all unto thy pride, fullest divine in thee I see, wonderful man of Calvary. Set me free. believe.